right. This morning is a little bit different. This morning we are going to be observing a deacon ordination. We usually do this on our evening services, but due to our circumstances, we decided to go ahead and do it, and it's long overdue. We have had Adrian serving as a deacon now for a little over a year, and which has actually worked out to be kind of a good thing, because the Bible does tell us that deacons should be tested, and so we've had an opportunity to kind of get to know Adrian and watch him serve. And so we're going to have some parts of the service that may seem a little different for you. So I'm going to explain what we're doing. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 6, it says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12, that's the apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up the preaching of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this duty. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering." And then it goes through and tells us who they chose. The deacons were chosen. These original group of deacons were chosen to be servants of the church. In fact, the word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos, which means to be a servant or to wait on tables. And so in the church, there are two ordained positions. The pastor or elders are ordained for the preaching and the teaching of God's word and for the equipping of the saints for ministry. And then the deacons are ordained or set aside for God for the ministry of the church, for the serving of the church. And so every year we go through a process of nominating deacons. We have a deacon board, and they serve for a number of years, and then each time they rotate off, and the church can vote to put them back on. And occasionally, we get to choose a new deacon. And that's what we've done this past time of choosing Adrian to serve. And so what we're going to do, and this is a bold move, we're going to have his father-in-law introduce him. I'm going to say this. If your father-in-law can introduce you, you are deacon material, all right? And I guess most of us couldn't have that. But Ralph Steele's going to come. He's going to introduce Adrian. Adrian's going to come, share his testimony. Then Brother John's going to come back and share a little bit of a charge. And then we are going to pray over Adrian. So go ahead and come on up, Ralph.
This may start off in a little different direction because I've known Adrian for 14 years. And
this is really good. Me and Ralph Steele working on a microphone. Yeah, the green light is on. Now we got the boss coming.
Yeah, I don't. There we go.
Just need a louder voice. So, I've known Adrian for about 14 years, and I think this is a privilege to be able to introduce him this morning in the ordination service. I'm gonna go back to where we met him at in Shawnee College. First time I got to meet Adrian, he was performing in the madrigal, and he was a wizard. And Adrian found out at this time, I think through all of the performances he did at the college, that God was giving him a gift that he could memorize so many lines and do so many different things that he would use that for scripture later in his life. He was in the production many times. He was a scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. He was Willy Wonka in Willy Wonka. He was Danny in Grease. He was Ryan in High School Musical 1 and 2. He was Shrek. These were only parts that Adrian played. He would come in and out of character. When he had to do those parts, he would be there to memorize those lines and perform those as the way that was in unbelievable fashion. What was kind of strange is that in High School Musical 2, I think him and Clarissa were brother and sister, and that night he proposed to her on the stage, which was a little bit strange, but that was just what happened. This was all taking place at Shawnee College. While he was at Shawnee College, Adrian joined a group of Christian brothers, and they performed in a band called No Comp. And they were traveled around, and they sang and gave their testimonies to many people across the country. The whole time, I think God was showing Adrian the gifts that he was giving him once again. After Shawnee College, Adrian went on to study Christian ministry at Mid-Continent University, which he furthered his Christian education at that point in time. You know, I can remember a time back, you know, a lot of people study the Bible in ministry, but they don't act it out. And I can remember a time when Adrian was working and one of his fellow workers didn't have a place to live. Excuse me. It's hard to do this when you're talking about someone you love that's such a Christian. He didn't have a place to live, was down on his luck. And Adrian asked him to come and stay at the house for a while till he got back on his feet. He was showing a Christian example and living it out while he was doing his work each and every day. During the time that Adrian was showing him, or that God was showing him so much more that he was going to use him for. The young man that stands before you today is in no form or fashion acting about his Christian faith. He has this walk that he uses each and every day. And we're so blessed that we can say he's the husband of Clarissa and the father of my grandson, Micah. And with all that said, I give you Adrian Fox.
Those kind words. I was asked to give my testimony this morning and thought that shouldn't be an issue because I've given it many times. In fact, I gave it at the Super Bowl party last year during halftime. So I really started thinking about it and what this morning means, and then I realized something last week that I didn't really want this to be about me. Let me briefly explain kind of what Joe has already explained, what it means to be a deacon. He already read these verses, but I'm going to read them again. Acts 6, 1 through 3. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." Now, Joe, I think you stole what I was going to say, but the word deacon there does come from the original Greek word at the end of verse 2. It means to serve, to wait tables. So the role of the deacon is to serve the church, to serve the community, and ultimately to serve God. And that's what the first deacons were called to do, right? To serve food to the widows so the disciples could focus on preaching. So not just that, but we have also been instructed to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." And Jesus even said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So because we as deacons, and ultimately as Christians, are called to serve, I didn't want today to be about putting me up on a pedestal. Instead, I wanted to be humbled down to that as a servant. To serve this church, to serve the community, and to serve God. And ultimately, that's what brings glory to God. And I'll steal John the Baptist's words when he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." So with all that being said, I will briefly give you my testimony. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God works all things together for the good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose." So I don't really remember going to church until about third grade, I think, is when I started going, at least consistently. And during that time, I went to saw a play that was called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. It's very similar to what we do here with Judgment House. But it was after this play that I can remember turning away from my sin and turning towards Jesus. And if one person could have a moment of salvation, that was it for me. And although my faith and repentance came at that time, I haven't stopped seeing God's grace and salvation as I continue to live. And that's what we call sanctification. So I continued to struggle with things that kid normally struggles with when they get older. And there came a point a few years later, I think it was in sixth grade, and I don't think I was happy with the way I was living my faith out because, to be truthful, I wasn't living it out. And I remember praying in my bedroom that God would change this and that I would start following him again. And then halfway through my eighth grade year, I moved here to Southern Illinois and began attending a church in Alto Pass. And I can remember again at this point asking God to help me draw him closer to himself and follow him more closely. And throughout high school, I lived what I think would be a fairly normal high school life. College is when I really began to gain knowledge about God. I had moved past what I called the emotional experience of Christianity at this point and began digging deeper into wisdom and knowledge of what it meant to be a Christian. College is also where I met Clarissa, which can be a story for another time. But in the 10 years since finishing college, I've continued just to grow in a richer, deeper understanding of God and still honestly have a long way to go. So I say all that to say, what does this have to do with Romans 8:28 that I read earlier? Well, I don't have the testimony of someone who was an alcoholic or addicted to drugs or suicidal, and then at the very last moment, God turned them away and pointed them towards himself, which those are great stories, and I do love hearing those stories, but that's not my story. But without going into too much detail, some things that I did have to deal with in my life was divorce, death of close family members, moving a lot as a kid, physical abuse, death of friends while I was in high school, not knowing what to do with my life, and even Clarissa and her parents had their own struggles that all led to this one moment. And through all of those situations, looking back, I can see how God has worked that out for good. If any one of those things would have been different, it's possible that I may not be right here where I am today. So because I can look back and see God's faithfulness in the past, I can also look forward to the future. And even if something seems like a bad situation, I can see God's faithfulness in that. So that's my testimony is Romans 8:28 is that no matter what's going on, for those who love God and are called, God works all things out, all situations out for the good. And I am a testimony of that standing right here today. So I think John is going to come out and say a few words, but I thank you guys so much for this opportunity that you've given me.
Good job. Yeah. Amen. Andrew, and you're one fine guy, in my opinion. And normally when Joe asks me to do stuff on Sunday morning, I am very hesitant because my Sunday mornings start about 7:30 here with the worship band and getting things going, and I try to shove a lot of that stuff into my head. Plus, I'm a Sunday school teacher as well, so I've got a lot going on Sunday morning. But normally when Joe says, "Hey, would you think about this?" I'll go, "Joe, look, there's only so much room up in this box, okay? And once I fill the folder up, I'm not much good." But when he asked me to do this, I decided that this was something that I felt like I should really do, because this is not Adrian and I's first encounter together. It was a few years ago that I actually licensed Adrian into ministry at Caledonia. I was the senior pastor there, and I licensed him and ministry as my youth pastor. Now, all that said, just to let you know how big a deal that was, is that I had known Adrian very well by the time that I licensed him into ministry. One of the things that you know about relationships is the longer you know somebody, the more the flaws of that other person will come out. But I want you to know, after watching that guy go through junior college and through the rest of his university time down at Mayfield, and then coming back and becoming a part of our church at Caledonia, I recognized that inside of that man was really, really, really something special. And recognizing all of that specialness, it just led me into helping him and continuing to pursue the idea of going into ministry. This is a really special day for me because, like Adrian, I was once licensed as a deacon. It was one of the first steps I took in going into ministry. It was in 1993, and I went this morning and took a little photo. I want you to see the first page of my ordination Bible, the very, very first page of it. That's a picture of it off of my phone, and it says my first deacon's meeting happened in 1994. Anyway, I know you can't read it, and it's not for you to read. I'm just wanting you to know how special this day it was to me and how special it will be to Adrian as he thinks back over the years to the commitment that he made. On that piece of paper, I wrote down the first sermons that I preached, the first time that I stood in a pulpit, and it's a very, very, very special thing because it's an incredibly high calling. My job today is to lead you in charging Adrian and his responsibilities, but I wanted to do something to kind of connect all of my thoughts together this week, and I've having time to think about it this week, I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to do a name search on the word Adrian and just find out what the word Adrian is about. That would be a cool way to tie it all together. So when I did that earlier this week, I found that Adrian comes from the Latin word Adriana, which is a city in Italy. Well, that immediately told me that you had nothing to do with Latin, okay? But the second part that I found was the Greek implications of the word, or the weak Greek meaning, and it says a rich man. And all of a sudden, the light went off inside of my head because, quite frankly, Adrian, you are a very rich man in many, many ways. There's so many ways that God has blessed this young fella and put in him gifts and talents, and Ralph, you were expressing that quite well. His abilities are just incredible. Matter of fact, if you're around me and Adrian Long, you'll catch me calling him Brain all the time. I never call him Adrian. I always call him Brain. And that's because when I sat in music theory class and I was teaching them this mind-boggling calculus of how music theory works, Adrian would be as quick as I was about transposing and figuring out intervals and things like that. And I just started referring to him as Brain during that time, and I've never stopped. What his mind is an incredible thing, and you're gifted and you're rich in that your abilities are so many. And of course, God has blessed you with a wonderful wife and a son and a family and families. And God, whether you know it or not, Adrian, and at your stage of life, you might not feel like you're a rich man. But I want you to understand, young man, you are a very rich man at this stage of the game. And I think you should be mindful of that. So, Adrian, your name does fit you this morning. Now, as I was contemplating my charge scripture, I thought, well, I could make something up, or I could read to you a charge that was going on in the Bible when Paul was talking to Timothy about his charge to the church in Ephesus, and I just wanted to share with you a little bit of what Paul said, and then, Adrian, we're going to let that be the message to you this morning. So if you've got your Bible or if you want to watch on the screen, it's from 1 Timothy, and it's chapter number 3 is what I'm going to use this morning, and this is verse number 1, but hang on, this isn't the important verse, okay? Verse 1 says this, This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Well, just remember that anybody that's getting ready to aspire to this office has a noble task in front of him, because we're not talking about being overseer. If you jump to verse number 8, the next verse, you will say, it says, deacons likewise, like overseers. We're not talking about being an overseer this morning. We're talking about being a deacon. Paul says, deacons like overseers, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified. Not, I chuckle, okay? I didn't want to go there, but I couldn't help but chuckle. But their wife must be dignified, not slanderer, but sober-minded, faithful in all things, and she is. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus or in Christ Jesus. And Adrian, I want to close my charge this morning by telling you, you are rich not because of your abilities and your family and all of that. You are rich because of your relationship with Jesus Christ that you have lived out thus far, and you are going to be called upon to continue to live out in the faith of your relationship with Jesus Christ. I can tell you, young man, that this will try you. Being a true servant, because you're not going to work for us. You're not going to work for Brother Joe or myself, just like I told you back when I hired you and brought you into ministry at Caledonia. You don't work for us. You work for the highest of high callings. You work for the creator of the universe. Your calling is incredibly high, and the responsibilities that come with the abilities that you have are staggering. My prayer this morning and my charge to you, brother, is lean in hard. Stay walking your faith. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to fail yourself. You're going to fail others. But you continue in your faith because it is the most precious thing that you have. There will come a day when nothing else will matter but you and what you've done for Jesus. And I just pray that as you have committed to being a part of this deacon ministry, that God will bless you and he will keep you in these things. So, with that said, it's time for us to do a very important part of the message, and that is the part of the service, and that's the part of laying on hands. So, Adrian, if you'll come on down front here, and deacons, you'll make your way to the front part of the room. Joe's kind of asked me to explain to you what's getting ready to happen. As deacons, come on down. We're going to lay hands on Adrian, and we're going to pray for Adrian. And you guys go ahead and line up right here, kind of like we do. And as they pray for Adrian, they're going to come, and they're going to say some things to him during this particular time. As they say those things to him, we want you to know they're not teaching him the new deacon special handshake. That's not exactly what's happening. Deacons don't have a special handshake. You probably knew that, but I'm just letting you know. We don't have a special tank, but they are going to bless you, and they're going to give you some words of wisdom, and they're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. So with that said, I would encourage you, church family, to join us in prayer for Adrian as he steps off. He's already stepped off as he continues in his journey as a deacon in our church.
We're going to go ahead now, John. Cliff is preaching in Brookport this morning. So with John and I together as pastors here at the church, I do want to say to you, the word deacon is a high and holy calling. It's a very, very important call. In fact, Jesus himself is referred to as a deacon. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant." The word there, servant, is diakonos, taking the form of a deacon. And then it goes on to talk about he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Father, today as we come to set apart Adrian for this role of deacon, Father, we ask that you would watch over him. We thank you, Father, for the way that you have guided him, Father. The Lord, the way that you've worked out every circumstance in his life, not only to bring him to salvation and help him to grow in his walk with you, to bring him in to this church, Father, but also, Lord, the work that you're continuing to do through him. Lord, we pray today as we set him aside for this important role of being a deacon. Lord, we ask that you'd bless him. We ask that you'd grant him wisdom, Father. We ask that you would work in his heart, Father, help him to be all that you've called him to be. God, we love you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now we can make you stand up. Oh, man. They had to help me up. All right. So let's give out Adrian a round of applause there. We are very thrilled. I want to say to you, it's been an honor this last year. He's only really been serving for a year. It's been a really an honor watching the way God's worked in him. And if you don't know this, he helps out with our youth ministry a great deal. He disciples some of our young guys here in our church, and just a wonderful, wonderful guy. So I'm going to, in a few moments, I'm going to ask his family to come up and stand with him, and you can come by and just kind of you shake your hand at them or shake their hand. I don't know what we're supposed to do in COVID times, but come on by and let them know how excited you are to have Adrian serving with us.